Hello, this is the Torg Eternity Delphi Council Debriefings, where the storm has a name. We are your hosts, Jay and Lehman, and today we are going to dive into Gospog. So Gospog are kind of the most basic, I would say, unique but familiar creature threat in Torg and Torg Eternity. Would you agree with that, Jay?
Yeah, they're one of the more iconic things.
So, to explain what a Gospog is, basically, in both Classic Torg and Torg Eternity, there is a Gospog seed, and if it is implanted into the Torg Eternity core book, it specifically says human corpse. But in Classic Torg, as well as later adventures in Torg Eternity, has basically just been a humanoid corpse. That implanted into a humanoid corpse, buried in a Gospog field. After a while, the corpse will come up with vines and decaying vegetation kind of working its way through it. And it's very similar to zombies in other games, but it's not quite a zombie. And it's basically this combination of decaying flesh and vegetation that has, while considered mindless, very just zombie-like. If you are able to give them an order, if you're in a position or have something, some mystical abilities or something, you might be able to give them orders, but then they can go and be minions to the High Lords and their the people that they entrust to the Gospogs in the Gospog field. So basically what had happened is the Gaunt Man came up with this idea, this Gospog seed, and gave them to all the High Lords that he had rounded up for the invasion of Earth. And of course, at first, the High Lords are like, oh, you know, yeah, we're going to help you with this invasion, but we don't like these free gifts because we understand there's no free lunch. But the Gospogs of the first planting have a special thing in which they don't cause contradictions. So by that simple fact, it kind of got everybody except for Pan Pacifica on board the Let's Make Gospog field train. And
kind of Mobius.
kind of. Rico, she was more of a, I'm going to experiment and do my own thing with it. But everybody else kind of got on board to various degrees on the Gospog train and have been doing that. So, if we're talking just Torg Eternity, there's just a very small write-up in the threat section of the core rules that says it's in the All Cosms threats, Gospog of the First Planting. Gospog of the First Planting are human corpses entwined with rotting vegetation and putrid flesh. They are common to all realms, a gracious gift of death from the Gaunt Man to his fellow reality raiders. They are strangely adaptable and function without contradiction in every realm. So that's kind of the little point there. By the time Living Land came across, as I said, they had had already published Gospogs that were in non-human corpse forms. But the Gospog of the Living Land specify also that a Gospog field in a mixed zone only ever produces Gospog of the first planting. Each successive planting takes more time, yields only a small fraction of the Gospog, but you need to be in a dominant or pure zone to get higher levels of plantings, which are the second through the fifth planting. And basically, in original Torg, there was a nice chart about the Gospogs, where if you, like a normal field of first planting could produce 10,000 Gospog, and then you would plant a next generation in that same field, but it would only be able to produce 1,000 Gospog of the second plantings, you plant again after that harvest a new planting. The third planting would be 100, the fourth planting would be 10, and the fifth planting would be 1. And the first one could be done in a week, and then 3 weeks for the second, 5, 7, and 11 weeks it would take further. And those might be off for Tor Eternity, but the general idea is the same, where each yield will produce lesser and lesser Gospog, but they will be more powerful each planting.
Yeah, they were kind of vague about it in the core book. There is a section where, in the Ororsh section in the core book, where it talks, they do require fields of 10,000 bodies in the first place. So each body needs a seed. And I guess the idea is it just requires such a concentration of negative, necromantic, or void, or what have you, sort of energy. And then once it's fully reaped of its initial harvest, it becomes, it all turns into potent mulch, essentially, for the future ones. And as of, like, the core book, which I think is 90 days, the second plantings are starting to appear. Mm-hmm. And then when you see the source books, they will have in their timelines when the third and fourth plantings start showing up.
Right, because it's not always like, boom, the planting finished, the next planting starts. There are some logistics and stuff.
Yeah, like, not every field was planted at the same time, too, right?
And, you know, there's been cases where... even officially, like, Stormbreak took out a Gospog field. So then that one's not ready for, you know, it's not going to have a future planting.
Yeah, you salt the earth and...
and that. So the Gospog are interesting. Each of the core, the core source books have their own second through... They don't need to repeat the first, because the first are pretty much the same everywhere, but the second through fifth are going to be individual, and each of the source books for the various realities are going to have their 1 through 5 Gospog plantings, and they're going to be a little bit different and from each other. One of the things that I thought was a little interesting in Classic Torg about the Gospogs is their thing was for the higher, or even the Gospog of any planting, was that it was considered almost like a mixed reality in itself. So if you planted a seed within in say the Living Land, you're going to get a Gospog who can do anything that Core Earth can do, because that is the reality that was suppressed, as well as anything that Living Land, you know, tech wise or whatever, a Gospog could do. That it could do both things without causing contradictions. If that Gospog though went to the cyber papacy, then it couldn't do cyber papal stuff. So that's where it's a little bit different. After the initial first planning Gospog in Tor Eternity, which says they function the same in any reality.
It is worth noting, though, that even though the first planting Gospog are kind of mindless, you know, zombies that can't really, they're not going to be hacking the system or anything.
Right.
They can't, you can put armor on them and, like, they can use it, right?
Yes.
So they don't cause contradictions. You could give them brass knuckles, that sort of stuff. So you can upgrade them. But because they're such a, like, tens of thousands at a time kind of mass troop, they probably won't be, unless you have some, like, specific villain upgrading them or something.
Right.
Especially an Isle.
Right. So they, so the first planning Gospog in Tor Eternity can go anywhere, not cause contradictions. That's the cool thing. So Mobius could send his Gospog over to the Cyber Papacy and cause some trouble, and they'll work just fine there. Like Jay said, yes, you can upgrade them, but are you going to upgrade 10,000 disposable troops unless there is that specific reason?
I seem to recall someone writing something about upgrading Gospog with gene mods.
Xeno Gospog.
Yes, technically.
Because that was something that I knew when we were doing Pan Pacifica. I knew that that was going to be a question that people asked, you know, hey, what about if this person had gene mods, and then they got a Gospog seed stuck in them, what would, you know, would the gene mods be there? So I wrote, you know, I was like, well, I'll answer that question, and if it gets approved, then we'll have an official answer. And it got approved and is in the book, so.
Well, that brings us to the next question then. If someone with cyberware gets turned into a Gospog, do they still have it?
I would say, sure, why not?
It's not sanctioned anymore, I guess,
Right. Or
but
the Godnet's having a fit.
yeah.
Evan X
Host not
Crux
found.
is just like, no. But no, I think it's fine. Something that, unlike Classic Torg, which I haven't been able to find, it might be there. And hey, if anybody's out there has something in print that I blab my mouth, I have like 100 different iterations of various source books and core rules that tumble in my head at any time. So if you have something that's published and printed and can give me a page number, I am not above saying you're right and I am wrong at any time. So if I'm wrong in this, correct me. As far as I've been able to quickly look when we were coming up with this topic, I didn't find anywhere that said anything about the second and to the fifth plantings on any type of not causing contradictions or being able to do either everything like the first Gospog or Core Earth and what they're doing in whatever Gospog. So if you're a second planting of the living land, then you would be a living land. You know, you won't co cause contradictions doing living land stuff. I absolutely see that. But it does say that they use their Gospog as shock troops to assault Core Earth hardpoints or defend particularly valuable sites. So again, there's lots of little hints, but I don't know of anything that just says, yes, this is what they can do. So I would say at the least, they're able to go into Core Earth
Yeah.
and cause some contradictions there and whatever their own reality is. But I think that's the thing that gives, even though they're the weakest, the first planning Gospog have that one edge of, since they haven't necessarily been planted in a place like a pure dominant zone, they can be in the mixed zones, that whatever the seed is there and does it with the seed, then they're just can do anything that they can do. Of course, there are things that they can't do, but they
Yeah.
can. They basically are not contradictory, which is pretty unique in Torg Eternity, of just a
Yeah,
not
but
contradictory.
they don't really do anything that would be contradictory on their own, is the thing. Like, normally your own fists, and if you bite someone, it's
Right.
not contradictory. So, like, unarmed attacking is not contradiction, anyways. But if someone bolted something to them, or I don't know, they had a weapon, then that would be contradictory. Then it would be a big deal. But so that gives you some options.
Right. So, but for those upgrades, so for thinking about and looking at those upgrades, because they do get melee weapons.
Yeah, I
And
guess, you know, if they have melee, yeah, they can carry swords.
so, you know, an
And if
aisle
you're
could
as a
carry a
GM, you
short
can
sword and an
feel
electric
free
katana.
to give them missile weapons or whatever, too. I mean, I wouldn't give them computers, but
10,000, you know, 10,000 Gospogs typing, which one, you know,
yeah,
when do they
exactly.
get Shakespeare type thing. But no, I think they are somewhat interesting. Jay and I were talking about, yes, they are kind of, not kind of, they are meant to be in their base form quite disposable. You will almost never have, unless somebody's disconnected or has no possibilities to soak and the Gospog explodes a lot in damage, then they usually will not have really pose a threat to Storm Knights.
Yeah, they're probably like the second weakest goober in
Right.
the whole game.
And so They do ignore shock, which is why they're the second, because shock troopers take shock.
Oh, I see. I actually put shock troopers better.
Oh,
than
do you?
Because
they can range weapon. Yeah.
I say lurks are the weakest.
Okay, yeah, lurks. True. But both of those can take shock, and get taken out of a fight with shock, where the Gauss Pogs don't take shock. So you still want to be able to wound them. But they're kind of the cannon fodder, the Expendables, the Let the Storm Knight Shine. The times that I've seen them effective in, like, actually making players as well as not just characters, but the players afraid of their characters possibly having, you know, problem is when they're like walking through a swamp or something, and then you have them roll a find, and then they realize that they have been walking in a Gauss Pog field, and then they notice a hand coming out, you know, and then, oh no, the Gauss Pog are waking up, now we're in the middle of a field, and then it usually will then, in the cases I've seen, not become a fight, because 10,000 Gauss Pog is just... even if the Storm Knights...
They're, of course, all about to hatch right now.
Right, you know, they're all going to hatch right then. But still, even if 100 or so, in old school D&D, I have done games where it was like the party against 100 or 200 skeletons.
We've done that, literally,
and,
except they were poison skeletons.
And it was just a slog. Like, okay,
the DM vowed never again.
Yes, because it's like... You know, throw a lightning bolt over there. Okay, you take out 10. Oh, great. There's still, you know, 490 left or whatever, and it takes forever. So I wouldn't suggest that, but having a DSR or chase to escape, or if some Storm Knight comes up with a cool, you know, reason to be able to fight them, you know. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I was actually going to say, is that Gauss Pog are probably better not as a fight themselves, but... adding them to a DSR,
right?
Because then they get the fear check at the beginning, and now possibly the people that would have been doing the step A of the DSR are stymied,
you know,
so it makes it a little bit tougher. So that's where you get your actual player fear, not from the Gauss Pog actually hurting you, but from making you fail the steps.
Right, and I will point out that too, Gauss Pog have fear, so that is another thing. Don't forget that, game masters. If you at the beginning of your fight, if they're experiencing a Gauss Pog, comes in, then the Storm Knights are going to have to test that willpower.
I eventually copied, Rod did something into organized play, like, because everyone was using Rule 20, and there's tokens for them, was to give them the yellow highlight, like the aura, as a reminder, hey, you need to do a fear check.
Right.
So, like, any of that, or dragons, or what have you. Would have those as a reminder when you add them to the board. Oh yes, I need. That's why it's yellow. I got to do that because I missed so many fear checks.
Oh yeah,
like,
the
and
same
you
way.
Realize like on turn three of the fight, like, oh yeah, I forgot.
Yeah, so game
so
masters.
That's a hot tip.
if you have a VTT that allows you to tint a color and then take away that tint, I highly suggest that. When I did it on Roll 20. I did the same thing after seeing Rod do it, and then in Foundry, you're able to do that as well, and I've done that with Fear. At the table, I kind of put sticky notes, you know, above a fight or something, but always finding a way to remember that however you can, because all the attributes, the movement, the damage and stuff is usually above that fear ability. So you kind of read all of that stuff and you're going through it. And then later you look down at like, oh, what are the special abilities? And if you don't catch that first, that is kind of it. You forget, and it's nobody's fault. It happens. It happened to me a ton of times. That is one of the things in the threat book we are trying to look at. I can go ahead and say that is like the things that start at the beginning of combat, like fear. We are putting in a place that hopefully will be easier to see and kind of say move that up to the the top area. At the start of combat, boom, here are some things that happen. That's something that we were trying to make a little bit easier to use.
Especially if it's only something that happens once.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the beginning of combat and that's it. I've lost my page where I had my Gospok stuff. Oh, there it is. I just wanted to check something. Continue.
Sure. So as the Gospog, yes, I like that idea of let's have the Storm Knights start a DSR and then a bunch of Gospog come in. And it could be as a wave after wave, like every round X many come in to fill in whatever Gospog have been taken out between the rounds, kind of add that pressure onto the DSR. I'm a big proponent of not having DSRs in isolation unless there's no other way to make it make sense, because then you do have characters that are waiting around and doing nothing. Yeah. I'm always for a something else happening. That's what's making it dramatic as well as the DSR. I like that idea of not even having it necessarily just a boom, Gospog up here, let's have a DSR to get out of it. Like, we have a DSR that we need to finish, and boom, the Gospog up here, and now we got to really do this DSR, otherwise we're going to be overwhelmed. I think that would be really good in Living Land, Aurorsh, Pan Pacifica, I think, or Pan Pacifica wouldn't, but the Jiangxi would work in that field, yeah. Which are the Pan Pacifica version of first of the
well,
the second
depends planet. On how you defined,
right?
Yeah,
right. Second generation.
So one thing I just double checked was in classic Torg that they don't cause like any kind of fear or anything, right? Mm-hmm. So that's just a Torg Eternity thing, and it's not mentioned in the original like core book, but in other places it kind of comes up that the reason they cause fear is because they let out a Gospog scream,
mm-hmm.
when they first appear, which is kind of like intermittently described, and then some of the later plantings have better versions of it. So that's kind of also, it's one of those things where it's like you have to describe, like come up with a reason why does this thing still cause fear after you've killed thousands of Gospog,
right. So,
having it be like some supernatural, rah, you know, that works in any reality is probably the best way. Not just like, oh, hey, there's a rotten zombie.
Right.
I'm spooked.
Yeah, the like a void scream or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like a proactive thing. Yeah. So they like jump out of the swamp. Ah!
So, yeah, I think all of that is pretty good information. So each of the, as we said, each of the Gospog from the different realities have four other plantings. So second, third, fourth, fifth. Again, I'm going to do a little teaser for the threat book. In the source books, they're called Living Land Gospog of the second planting, Living Land Gospog of the third planting, Living Land Gospog of the fourth planting, Living Land Gospog of the fifth planting, etc., through all the different realms, which is fine. That's an explanation. It's a description, except for Pan Pacifica. Yeah. But Pan Pacifica, then, they have their Xeno Gospog generations, and those have specific names. So one of the things we realize is the Storm Knights, because people, you know, humans,
yeah,
you're not going to say, you know, you're not going to be fighting something. Oh, what, you know, what do you see around the corner there? Oh, I see five Living Land Gospog of the fourth planting. Storm Knights, at least, are going to have some nickname, code name, or whatever that they're going to give to each other. So that's something that we have assigned to the various Gospogs as a, hey, that's a blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they all have a name.
They all have, like, a little nickname. Did you want to give out a couple of nicknames?
Yeah, I mean, how many do you want me to go through here?
let's go through Living Land.
Okay, so living land, you've got second planting are called bone spitters. I don't believe they currently spit bones, but they will be. Third planting are squiddies, which was what started this whole thing.
Right, because they look like octopuses or
Yeah.
squids.
Fourth planting are shamblers. That's kind of like an homage to the old shambling mound. And then the fifth planting is our barrows, because they're like an entire hill,
No,
right?
right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so those are kind of things that we came up
Yeah.
with, and a little flavor for each realm. So I think the Isle
You could
ones.
probably guess at the Cyber Papacy ones.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I think the Isle ones are probably the best, to be honest, but
All right, let's go through the aisle ones. What are we calling them?
So there's grave ghouls for the second planting, which you could just call ghouls, but I figure we should add something to it to differentiate from ghouls.
Right, the ghouls,
Yeah.
ghouls, and the ghoul,
Yeah.
whatever the Tharkle ghoul thing is.
Then you've
Ghoul.
got third planting are green knights, fourth planting are Nuken, which is a Scandinavian creature of folklore that lives under the lake and drags people in there, and then Nidhogg for the fifth planting, because it's some serious stuff if you're seeing one of those.
So, yeah, I just find that was something that we were discussing, and it might have also been on a forum or something. Somebody was like, "Hey, wouldn't Storm Knights come up with this?" And it was like, "Yeah, that's absolutely
Yeah.
reasonable that you're gonna give them little nicknames because, especially in a firefight, you don't have time to."
And even these, like, they might be the official designations, but in a firefight, you're probably not gonna, you just say the ghoul, like, not the
Right.
grave ghoul or the knight instead of the green knight, but you know.
Right. Yeah, you might even shorten them further, but
Yeah.
you're
And you know your players will just be that guy.
right.
So.
But it is definitely not a oh, around that corner are three Living Land Gospog of the Fourth Planting or five Cyber Papist, Papacy Plant Gospog of the Third Planting, etc. So I think that is something fun that we'll add, and you'll be able to see in the bone spitters. They actually have
Oh, did they spit already? I couldn't
they spit,
remember.
yes. So land,
Some might change.
it says bone spitter stalks with head like carnivorous plant, spits thorn and sharp stars, sharp shards of bone at targets. So, it was one of those things, something a little distinct about that particular Gospog, so that's how that Gospog is going to get named. So let's go ahead. We talked about Gospog. Let's talk about the Xeno Gospog a moment, because you have corrected me correctly a couple of times, because I get into a generality, but there is that specific thing of the Pan-Pacifica Xeno Gospog. So when the Gaunt Man handed out his Gospog seeds and was like, "Hey, High Lords, get 10,000 corpses, which will be easy for you because we're invading. You're going to be dead bodies all over. Put a seed in each corpse, plant them in this field, do this thing, and in X amount of time, you're going to get these Gospogs that you can do stuff with." And Rico was more of a nope, not going to do what you said because that's just too fishy. But you gave me something that's biological, and I'm going to spend some time looking at this. So she looked at it, had high trusted scientists and look at it, and that's basically what became the contagion, and the Jiangshi was their version of the second, kind of skip the first. Their little, and then they have the. But before I say that, let's actually just make sure that I said the truth.
About what part?
About that, it's a second that they don't have first. So they have
Well,
Jiangshi, and then they have the
they kind of do.
Yokai. Is that their first?
So Like there's the infected,
Okay, yeah,
right?
the infected.
So there's the infected, and then there's the lost, are the equivalent of the second planting. And then I believe the third planting. Now you've said this, you made me open it. Okay. So second planting or second generation, rather, is the lost. Third generation is the kudzu. Fourth generation is the jiangshi.
Ah, okay, so it skipped a lot.
Then the yokai, and then the protean.
Okay, so the infected had slipped my mind. So the
They're
infected
like the
are,
0.5.
right, they're kind of the developing, but since it's in a living person and
Yeah, that
not.
is always the biggest thing to remember about the infected is they are not undead.
Yes. Yeah, so that's a different. They're changed because of them being living. And then that's why they're also Xeno. Got the official name is Xeno Gospog once the Delphi Council kind of started figuring out and getting some secret data and stuff, leaks and.
Yeah, because regular Gospog don't advance into later stages on their own.
Right.
They have to be harvested from a special field, whereas Xenogospog, if a lost kills enough, it starts to turn into a kudzu and then can even get bigger and bigger into like burst and spread the contagion further. And then Jiangshi can just spontaneously turn into yokai. So it's a whole other pickle.
Right. So it's that experiment that went wrong,
I don't know
got
how far into it you want to go about why it's doing that, but.
We can save that, but it
Okay.
basically it's a different process. You have, and that's why they're not plantings; they are generations. So they have the first, second, third, fourth, fifth generation because they become the next thing, not by planting corpses in the field and reaping it. It's usually through killing enough other things or taking enough other things' biomass and consuming it or exploding on other things and infecting them with an even greater form of the virus. There's different things going
Or
on.
players playing mutation
Or
cards.
players playing mutation cards or are that one that's similar to, I can't remember the exact name, but are you sick, or that
Not
car,
feeling so well.
yeah, not feeling so well. Yeah, I think all of that is some good information to kind of think about with the Pan-Pacific Gospog. So, have there been any of the specific realms, any Gospog that stand out to you that you like, you dislike, that you used?
Well, I have kind of a love-hate relationship with Gospog because I like the concept of Gospog, right? I like the idea that that they're farming these things and they keep getting more and more powerful. But personally, and this is just my personal opinion, not like anything coming up or anything like that, but I personally feel there's not enough power difference between the different plantings of Gospogs. So to me, your first planting Gospogs are fine because. Oh, and that's the other big question. Gospog or Gospogs?
I've always did it as Gospog, both singular
Yeah,
and
me too. But then looking through the old revised book, it's constantly Gospogs and it threw me. Anyway, so like I'm fine with the first planting. They're supposed to be kind of, your bog standard things to fight. But in my kind of opinion, like the second plantings usually just have one wound. So like maybe they take or some of them don't. Some of them are still a dash. Some of them have one wound. So they can be taken out super quick and maybe they do like two more damage or something. In my personal opinion, I would have liked to see second planting be more like a boss alpha kind of level. And then third planting be kind of like a beta threat. And a fourth planting be like a beta boss. And then the fifth planting, they talk about them like it's a Boraka or something. They should be in that kind of realm, like, which is technically it's weird because a Boraka is a beta, threat, but it's way tougher than any other beta threat. So like I would put like fifth planting up at that level personally, like the step, like the trusted lieutenants before the High Lord kind of thing. But that is not what it is right now. And I have seen many a fourth planting get taken down super quickly, except for the fourth planting aisle one that were the knockin'. That thing just ravaged group because it attacks from surprise, so it has this extra element, which I found really good. So that one for me has really worked. And there is, that's a spoiler, I guess, but there is a point where the warlords, like the war-themed cyber papacy ones, get unleashed in a crowd in an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a very cool and thematic scene that I really liked. And because they were involved with civilians, it wasn't just like that the they could just start lobbing grenades at them or anything. They had to be careful and actually like try to help people. So that made a very nice scene. And I thought that's like a good way of using Gospod. Because if you just have them show up in a field and the players can get their guns up, they're not going to last very long. You have to be kind of more, make more interesting kind of combats with them, because in Torque Eternity, they're all mindless for the most part. So they are kind of like just, they could be directed by necromancers or trusted lieutenants of the High Lords, but otherwise they're pretty straightforward. So you kind of want to make an interesting encounter space instead of just a straight up fight.
Right.
And that's what that did.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about, and that was interesting because also, if players don't know that there's not that huge of a difference between the plantings, and they noticed, okay, they hear the description and they hear, you know, vegetation mixed with corpse, you know, skeleton or zombie or whatever, then they're thinking Gospod if they've played a little bit. And then they're like, oh, these are higher plantings. And then they start getting a little fidgety. But then, as you said, if they're able to take them out, then that goes away. But putting them in a situation where they can do a lot of damage to civilians and infrastructure and stuff like that. My players that went through it, they at first just wanted to get out of there. You know, they had to argue that that's not the heroic thing to do. We need to to save. So there was even that first of, hey, let's, you know, oh, you know, hard, more difficult than first plantings means we don't want to deal with that right now. Oh, wait, we have to deal with that right now. And again, when you have some people hesitating, some people trying to save civilian, you know, spending the time saving civilians, and then only a limited number fighting against the Gospod,
yeah,
then that makes it, you know, more dramatic and not just a cakewalk type thing as well. And Game Masters, if you ever get to a point where you are like, these aren't feeling where I think they should be, please look at the GM beta primer, see where some of those beta numbers should be, and pop up your Gospods of various plantings by a few points here and there, give them some more wounds. I know the one thing I believe that wasn't in Classic Torg, but it is in Torg Eternity, is the Gospod with possibilities, because they were never, and the ones that even like the Xeno Gospods don't have a reality skill but have possibilities. They might not be able to then use it to soak, but they can use it to do an action boost and to.
And often the Xeno Gospod anyway also often have powers.
Powers
like a Yorkai can heal off spending a possibility, and the Protean can, I think, grow more stuff.
right. So they have things that can offset it. But yeah, like that's another thing that the fifth level. Gospod of the fifth planting could have like five possibilities, which is more than a Storm Knight starts off with. It doesn't necessarily mean the Storm Knight's not going to have 8 or 10, depending on how your group
time,
does
yeah.
stuff at the time.
And there'll be betas, so the GM will have possibilities.
Right,
too.
So then you have GM possibilities and stuff. But be sure to use those to give them those bonuses.
Unless it's just going to make the fight drag on.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always that balancing. Is this helping or is this just prolonging rolling dice for no other
Yeah,
reason
yeah.
to roll dice? If there's a reason to roll dice, then add the drama, bump up the Gospog, use their possibilities to on some good hits and stuff like that.
One thing I haven't seen it mentioned in Torg Eterni, but they mentioned it in the revised expanded book, was that in the later the plantings go, is the more differences you start to see in the same, like a fourth planting Isle Gospog might be different than another fourth planting
Okay.
Isle Gospog, so you can feel free to change things a little bit
Right.
that way. In What's it in? It's one of the Pan Pacifica books. There is like threat adjustments, right? Is it in the
I
mission
know
book? I can't remember.
Isle Dread Covenant,
Oh,
I
maybe it's
believe,
in the Dread
has
Covenant.
the templates.
So the I know
The
they're out
over or the
there. They're
overlays,
out there
whatever they're called.
somewhere, right? Yeah, that you can add to creatures to give. Oh, they just added a few more in the Pan Pacific. That's what it was. So yeah, there are some like templates you can add on to creatures to change them up a bit. So you might want to do that. And then they even said fifth plantings can often be very different from each other. And they come right out and say that actually in the Pan Pacifica book for yokai, that like every yokai looks very different, even if the stats are the same, but the stats can also be different.
Right.
So the higher up the generation or planting you go, the more distinct personality you can give them too.
Right. So, I mean, that does make sense too. If it's one thing if you're the game master saying, okay, these 10,000 Gospog that I want to make special because I want to make special do it, but making each one of those different from each other is going to be a pain in the butt. But if it's one of those, hey, I'm going to throw three fourth, Gospog of the fourth planting at them, huh? I can add something different to each one of them. So then, and that's less work for a game master to just, give three Gospog, each one separate different ability. But then if you have a fifth planting and you have the Storm Knights take it on and say they defeat it, and then later on you have another fifth planting, then you can go wild and have it, be a lot different. And then you're only having to change one, and again, then it makes sense, and it's not like I have to do this with 100 Gospogs to it's when the lore fits the ease for the game master, nice balances out, which is something that's nice instead of just like
Doesn't always happen.
it's like old school role playing where it would say, okay, here's 20 goblins and they have 1 to 6 hit points. How many game masters ever sat there and rolled out 20 different times? I have,
Depends on the
but
game.
yes, it's one of those. Is
I'll never do
that
it for
really needed?
D&D, but I do it for
Alchemy
Hackmaster.
Master. And that's why now they kind of just give a.
Yeah, they don't even
The,
bother.
you know, here's what it is, or here's what it is, here's a range, and here's what it is because you're going to use that. I know after I had done it a few times when I was first in role playing and doing the roles, I just went max. Max is what it is. I don't care what it is. It's not the middle even. It's max. It's not the lowest. It's not anything in between there. And it worked for that. So. Definitely, when you have one or two unique things, they're easier to change up. If it's something in the middle, I'd probably just add or change one thing on each of
Yeah,
them and
like
have a limited.
a power, but still the same stats, kind
Right,
of thing.
same stats in that. It's just that this one does this one thing that's different than these other two. Number two does a thing that's different than one and three, and then three does something that's different than one and two. Everything else is. The same, but just to kind of throw a wrench in whatever the Storm Knights, and I mean I'm coming up with all types of stuff in my head too, because isn't the, I want to say one of the Pan Pacifica does have like the mutation adaptation or something.
The Protean?
I want to say so, like if something's done to them and then they have a way to like make it so that they adapt and it doesn't work as well against them or something
Because they
like
can
that.
change every turn. They can choose two things that they get that they're either immune to or they get a big bonus against. I can't remember offhand.
Right.
But that can change every turn. But you can also do an interaction attack to turn one off.
Right.
It's a cool thing, but it is on the edge of too much stuff.
Right.
Kind of like the greater dragons too, where it's like, okay, boys, I gotta read you out. So you can climb this thing if you want to
Right.
get a good shot. It's like, okay, here's all these extra rules you could do, and the player's just like, I'm just gonna shoot
Yeah.
it.
But I do like that idea of maybe applying that to some of the other fifth
Oh yeah.
plantings where, okay, you hit him with a laser gun, so now he's gonna adapt to, being more resistant to lasers, and then the next guy hits him with, a
See, what
bullet.
you want
Now
is
he's
Mobius to make Gospog out of clones of your Storm Knights
right.
so they have powers similar to the Storm Knights.
He has a lot of stuff where he likes to change things up on the Storm Knights and
Actually, that was one of my favorite things is that Mobius does not trust the Gospog at all. So he has the second planting. Actually, no, it was the first. All his first planting Gospog aren't even used for like fights. They're like in mines and
right.
stuff. They're just being used for mines. And then the second planting have their heads removed and replaced with like antennas and controlled by weird science. So, I mean, I think aside, I mean, Ryko had a good idea too, but maybe she went a bit far. But then Mobius has got a good idea. The rest of them are just like, sure, let's use these things.
Yes. It's like kids in a
What could happen?
candy store.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's just, red shiny seeds. I gotta plant them just the way I was told.
I can see maybe Uthorian being a master necromancer thinks maybe he can overpower it or something, but
Right.
you'd also think that being the Gaunt Man's like understudy, he'd know, nah, it's
No,
not
no,
gonna.
no. Well, although we have talked about it, Uthorian and Torg Eternity is even more of a yes man to the Gaunt Man. So
Yeah.
he's just like, hey, if you become Torg, don't just completely annihilate me right away, please. I told you about the Akashians. I told you about the this, the that, and anything somebody's told me, I've come and given that information to you. Don't just completely annihilate me.
Sorry, I lost the
Yeah.
Caradon.
Twice.
Yeah.
But anything else that you would have about Gospog before we wrap up?
Well, a fun thing for G.